Hi there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Tired of overcrowded CE rooms and conferences that don't feel worth your time? Well, you're in luck. This St. Patrick's Day weekend, join us at Fet Charlotte, your destination for practical, real-world continuing education you can immediately apply in your clinic. And here's the kicker. We take care of you while you're here. That means complimentary meals and snacks are included, so you can focus on learning and networking without having to worry about logistics. We're offering up to 47 CE credits, including on-demand options, along with 7 unique hands-on labs. So, what are you waiting for? Head to dvm360events.com and register today for Fet Charlotte.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
We have incredible veterinary professionals in our profession. This is what I love about the podcast because, you know, we always have different journeys of how we get from point A to B to C. And I want to share with the listeners the story of Dr. Mark Massaro that's in the house right now, because I think many of you can resonate with what he's been through and where he's at today. So good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, good to see you.
Let's just tell the listeners a little bit how we kind of know each other. So we have a mutual friend of ours, Dr. Rob Minkowski. Big shout out to him. He's one of my best friends. I've known him for over 30 years. And he's one of the co-owners of Mount Laurel Animal Hospital, which is where you're situated in New Jersey, and which is a whole network of hospitals there. But I want to, let's not go there just yet, because I want to know a little bit about my fellow Jersey boy here. So,
well, I have to jump in. Because known me for a certain period of time, but I've been a super fan. I joke. I've been following you. Actually, I wonder if you remember, you gave a CBD lecture at like New York Vet like 5 years ago.
Yes.
And I went to the lecture and I came up to you after, I asked you some bunch of questions, and then I looked you up. I followed you on Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn. And so I've been a fan for years, like you said, now that I work for Mount Laurel and Rob Minkowski, we kind of linked up. But when he dropped your name, I was like, oh, I know who that is. He's got the dachshunds and the TikTok, and so I've been a fan for a while. So this is a real thrill for me.
Awesome. Well, the thrill's mine as well, equal. And you're doing such great work in the profession. But yeah, it's so funny. My gosh, I remember that CBD lecture too. Gosh, it felt like years ago, you know?
Right. It feels like forever ago, right? But it was like, I think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so you're a fellow Jersey boy.
I grew up South Jersey, Medford, New Jersey. You're like probably like an hour north of me, I think, because I've been to Six Flags. I've been to the Six Flags in Jackson, King Dakar and everything.
I know, they took it right down.
But my parents are veterinarians, and they have a small animal general practice in Medford. So I grew up in Medford. I grew up in the family business, and the plan was always to come home and take over the family business, which I came home and I did practice for a little while with my family. My older brother is a veterinarian as well. So it's, and I don't have any other siblings. So 100% of my immediate family are veterinarians, and we all work together at the same practice for a period of time.
Okay, let's stop there for a second, because
I know,
this is the coolest thing. So did you always know that you want to be a veterinarian, or did you feel influenced to become a veterinarian, like, or was it a little bit of both?
I think both. People ask me this all the time. Like, did your parents make you, or did they? It was actually the opposite. I always wanted to be like my parents. Like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I loved going into the clinic. If I had a day off from school, if I was sick, I would go to the animal hospital, and I would hang out upstairs, and over the summers I would hang out, and I just loved being in the clinic. I loved watching what they did. I was like, this is what I want to do. And they actually said, why don't you like go explore other options? Like, a little bit like, this will always be here. If you do decide this is what you want to do, you could always come and learn from us and come into the practice, but like, go explore other careers. And so if anything, they kind of pushed me the other way. And then when I came back and said, no, my brother and I both actually came back to them and said, no, this is what we want to do. And then they were like, okay, well, if this is what you want to do, then you need to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, they get perfect grades. And they actually met at Cornell. They were alphabetically assigned dissection lab partners.
Oh my
God. My mom is Dr. Lippman, an L, and my father is obviously Dr. Massaro. And so they were assigned first year of vet school to dissect a cadaver together. And then they started dating, and then they got married, and then Andrew and I, my brother, we both went to Cornell as well. And because we, it was kind of one of those things my dad said, you can go to any vet school you want, but the only one I'm going to help pay for is Cornell. So it was like a false
Right.
choice.
All
They
sense of.
I mean, they were De La Hunta students. They like really bled, red. But yeah, that's my story.
Wait,
That's
okay.
my family bit.
So, the pottery scene from Ghost, when they're like doing the pottery and,
I
and.
haven't seen the movie, but I know that
Okay.
scene. I mean,
So,
that
to the
scene's so
listeners,
famous.
there's the Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, and
Yeah.
like a beautiful scene. Cut to in Vet Med, you can also fall in love with a dissection partner.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And so actually, it's a funny. So we joke all the time. I say like they were falling in love over a dead dog,
Yes,
essentially.
yes.
But my dad, in vet school, when you do dissection lab, you know this, right? So there's all formaldehyde in there. And so nobody wants to bring their brand new anatomy book into dissection lab because it gets disgusting. But
Right.
then you want to have your anatomy book there to reference. So my dad gave me his anatomy book from 1982 or 1983 or whatever. And on the inside cover, it had my mom's phone number,
Oh my
like
God.
still written there. Yeah. So it's like our, it's our little, it's our family
Yes.
story. Yeah.
So how many years apart is your brother?
He's 4 years, three and a half. Every time we actually overlapped in every stage. So whenever he was a senior, I was a freshman in high school, in college, and in vet school.
Okay. Wow. And my understanding, your aunt's a veterinarian too.
Say again?
Is your aunt a
Oh, my
veterinarian?
aunt. My aunt.
Yes.
Yeah. So I put that sometimes in my bio and stuff. So she actually, we weren't like super close. She was in Connecticut, but I throw it in there just because it's another person who's a veterinarian. My
Yeah.
sister-in-law is a veterinarian, but she had a mobile. She would drive a truck around Connecticut, and she would even do spays and neuters in her truck. So I mean, it's definitely in my blood for sure. We have a
Yeah.
lot of vets.
It's amazing. Okay, and then you cut to a really good passion for technology and
Yeah.
management, which is great. Veterinary management technology, and then you took on several roles in the company throughout the companies and different companies spanning from remote work in New Jersey to on-site positions in Philadelphia, Houston, and Knoxville. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, we moved around. It's kind of crazy, which
Yeah.
is, it's very strange to move across the country twice to do technology. Because most of the time when you're doing technology, you're working remotely. But And I did do that for a period of time. I worked remotely. I worked for software companies. But I ended up, I was like bouncing around different jobs. And the one guy that I started talking to was based out of Texas. And he was very big on, I need you to be here. Like, I want you to be here with me, sitting 5 feet away where I can yell things to you, and so you can learn my system. And he was actually trying to develop his own like proprietary software. And so we ended up moving to Texas for that opportunity. My poor wife, she quit her job, she resigned. She's a middle school teacher in Medford for me to take this opportunity because it was a really amazing opportunity on paper.
Yes.
It didn't end up working out for a bunch of different reasons. But then we were kind of stranded in Texas. Like we had a lease, and the person, I actually live in the house of the original owner of my parents' animal hospital. So my parents are also my landlord.
This is so cool.
Yeah, so the person, one of their veterinary technicians, moved into the house when we moved away. So we couldn't just like come back home because somebody was in our house. And we weren't gonna, the plan was always that we were gonna move back into that house. I was gonna go to Texas for a period of time. It was gonna be like 2 years for me to learn his system and then move back to New Jersey and take over his software program remotely. That was the goal. But this girl was living in our house, so we couldn't move back home. So then I was trying to figure things out, and I think, do you know Ira Gordon?
Yes.
Right. So I had connected with Ira Gordon like months before this all happened, and he was working for VetCelerator at the time, and he had reached out about, hey, maybe you could help us with this project that we're working on, trying to do something with the practice management software. And I reached back out, and I was actually no, they reached out to me and said, hey, could you help us with this project? And I started working for them kind of on the side. And then when everything in Texas fell through, I was like, is there any chance you guys would hire me? Like, I need a job. I need to get out. I have a lease and I don't have, this, I didn't have a job. And they said, yes, but you have to move to Knoxville. And I was like, all right, that's fine because I can't move home anyway. So then we moved to Knoxville for a while and I worked with Ira and Drew and Rivers and them. And then that they started to kind of move in a different direction and my career was moving in a certain direction. And then by that time, the girl moved out of our house and then we were able to move back home. And then I got the job with Chris and Rob. And but it's, I mean, for all jobs that technically I probably could have done remotely, we moved, we drove 23 hours and then 13 hours and then 11 hours and moved. We've had three houses in the past 2, 3 years, which is, again, my poor wife is a real trooper, but it's been a journey.
I mean, literally everything is happens for a reason. It really does.
Yeah.
And tell everyone a little bit about Mount Laurel, because I know, so you're
Yeah.
back to Mount Laurel Animal Hospital, but there's a group of seven hospitals, right? So tell the listeners
Yes.
what that's like.
So yeah, I have my new scrubs, my Vet Medicate.
I like it.
That's the company. Technically, I work for Vet Medicate. Technically, I don't work for Mount Laurel, but we everybody on the team at Vet Medicate works for Mount Laurel in a way. So Mount Laurel's our mothership. Mount Laurel, you know this, is one of the biggest animal hospitals I've ever been to, or it, if not on the East Coast, like within the, in the United States or maybe even the world, there's over 60 veterinarians. There's like over 400 total staff. They have oncology, neurology, behavior, rehab. You know this, Rob and Chris are building an extension on the building because they are outgrowing. I mean, it's a huge building and they're building even more and more on it. MRI, CT, they have like 12 primary care doctors and they're going to move out and get their own building soon. But it's a massive, massive animal hospital that's been a staple in New Jersey for years and years. I knew about Mount Laurel because my parents were a GP in the area and our cases would go to Mount Laurel's emergency room when, when they were sick. And so I knew about Mount Laurel, but I actually didn't know about the other hospitals. And so technically I work for Chris and Chris owns, 50% of Mount Laurel with Rob, but then he also owns the either part or all of these other six animal hospitals. And so my team, there's like 12 or 13 of us on the team. They call us nomads, digital nomads or train. And so we have VTSs that do tech training. We have me who does the software. We have marketing managers. We have inventory managers. And our job is to basically do whatever we can to support the hospitals. And so we bounce around. We drive from to all the different hospitals. Maybe on Monday I'm at this hospital, Tuesday I'm at this hospital, and I meet with the practice managers, I meet with the veterinarians, I meet with the technicians, the CSRs, and whatever I can do. For me, it's all about software. But again, the inventory manager helps them within marketing, helps them with marketing, and we're there to support them in whatever way we can. And because as you can imagine, I think before, so Chris kind of has built out this team. I have no idea how he was doing it before, but seven animal hospitals. So Mount Laurel's the biggest. There's like 65 something veterinarians, but I counted recently because I've been doing some of these podcasts and things like we were talking about, and it's like well over 100, I think it might be like almost 120 something ish vets now, and over 800 employees at all these hospitals. So it's a big endeavor, I'll say.
It is, and just from my experience and being there and so forth, it's well run and well organized, and especially like we were just talking about before we recorded it. It is such a circulatory system, the practice management software system.
Yes.
It's such a nucleus for everything and what we do. And so tell me a little bit about what that means for you in terms of electronic medical record keeping. I'm going to throw this out there because this is a real hot topic now, of course, is using AI dictation software.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what that all looks like for you guys.
Yeah, so what's interesting about us is so it's not like a VCA or a Blue Pro. Like all of our hospitals, you would have no idea they had anything to do with each other. They all have, Pennsauken Animal Hospital, Absecon Animal Hospital, Cape Veterinary Hospital, Mount Laurel. So you wouldn't know that we were connected, but we all actually share the same practice management system. We're all on EasyVet, and each hospital has its own business unit, is what it's called, and then within that there's departments. But what's really nice about it is, of the seven, there are, four that do mostly like GP urgent care, then there's three that do more emergency specialty. They're a bit bigger. So if one of our GP hospitals needs to, and they're all within, many of them are within 20, 30 minutes of each other. If one of our general practices needs to refer a case, we never send ourselves records. We can just say, like we were talking about, let's say there's a case at Pensauken and they need to go to Mount Laurel. We say, go drive to Mount Laurel. It's 15, 20 minutes away. They can just show up and tell the front desk, the patient's name and their phone number, and they have the entire medical record. So, as you know, sometimes when we send records, it's not totally complete, right? Like you can't send an X-ray, right? Because then, oh, I have to send the DICOM images, and then here's all the lab results. And sometimes the lab results get all wonky when you try to put it into a PDF. But they have the true, unadulterated, full medical record at their disposal. So it makes the consistency of care, the continuity of care—that's the word I was looking for—so much more seamless than what it would be otherwise.
Right. Yeah, I like that. And what about AI?
Yeah, so AI is my big thing that I worked on recently. So Chris, right when I was hired, I was like, okay, so what do you want me to work on? And he had all kinds of Ezybet projects, but he said, I do want you to just start looking into. I went to a conference and I heard about these AI scribes that will write your soap notes for you and filter out some of the nonsense discussion. I want you to just look into it for me and kind of figure out all the different players in the space and which one might be the best fit for us. And so I did this like 3-month research project, looking at all the companies and doing demos and going back and forth and negotiating prices. And again, because this is a unique account. A lot of them will charge per veterinarian, and that didn't really make sense for us. We have 120 veterinarians. So we ended up choosing VetRec, who I know you know them. We I introduced them to them recently. And we did a really slow rollout. That was really key for us, is because we have so many moving parts, and we only transitioned to EasyVet a couple of years ago. And so, a lot of the teams are still getting used to EasyVet and VetRadar, and so we didn't want to like throw too many things at them all at once. So we kind of went like one hospital at a time, one department at a time. But we really hit our stride a few months ago. And they, oh my God, do they love it. Like, especially the emergency service. Because again, when you're on emergency, you're seeing case, case, case. Mount Laurel's emergency is super busy. Actually, I kind of found out how busy they were through the AI because I'm able to track how many cases they're seeing using the AI. And last month we crossed over 70 cases a day. So they're seeing like over 3,000 in a month, just the emergency, let alone the general practices and the specialty services. And there's more that we can do with it. We want to use it for like reading referral records and summarizing referral records, using it for phone calls, even with CSRs on the phone or technicians taking histories. I've really just been focusing mostly on the veterinarians and writing their soap notes at first. But yeah, I think last I looked, I think for like the month of December, we saw like almost like 3,200 or 3,300 cases were scribed by AI. And then the vets can kind of just proofread and edit. But the amount of time it's saving them to not have to write their soap notes from scratch, I have had multiple, I don't have like hard numbers on this. Like a lot of people say, well, how many more cases were you able to see? Or how many hours did you save? It's really hard to measure those kind of things. But when I walk into a hospital and a veterinarian grabs me in the hallway and says, "You changed my life," I go back to Chris and I'm like, "This was worth it. Like, this
Yeah,
was a success."
absolutely.
And I've had multiple vets that have said, "I was here till 9, 10 o'clock at night writing my records, and I go home at the end of my shift consistently." And having that kind of impact to me is
Huge.
it was huge. Yeah,
Yeah.
like just the fact that I know. Again, because I have these anecdotal, and I don't, you can't write a research paper with anecdotal evidence. But that said, when I'm coming back to Chris and Rob and saying, was this worth the money that you spent, or was this worth the time and effort we put into it? I could tell you a dozen stories of different veterinarians that have told me that this was truly life-changing
Yeah.
technology for them. And so I've been super, super pleased with the results.
Absolutely improving their quality of life. It really is. And my question for you on that, now that you have it in, to the listeners out there, because I hear this a lot at conferences, is the how. How do you get the buy-in from the team and the doctors to know, like, oh my God, AI just seems so, quote, foreign to them? How do you get them to be on the same page?
So it's funny. I'm not the only reason it was successful, but I will say if you are looking to, and this is not just me saying this, is the AI companies will tell you this, it's having a champion, that's the word they use, having a or a project manager, or we call it, or a super user, there's a lot of words for the same thing. Having a champion is huge. Having someone who is going into the clinics, meeting with the veterinarians. I mean, I was would sit down with them, and I literally would go one veterinarian at a time. And I would show up, and they would say, "Oh, oh, come back later, and I'll meet with you on my break or whatever." They would say, "Oh, don't you have to meet with all the other vets?" I said, "No, today I am here for you and you alone." And just genuinely sitting and focusing and sitting with them and showing them, that was the other thing too. We didn't mandate it. It wasn't like you had to use this thing. Some companies, some hospitals, because if you, unless you make them use it, a lot of the vets will just say, "I'm happy with my templates and I don't want to try anything new." And some of us are stuck in our ways. But our rule was you don't have to use the program, but you do have to let Dr. Mark at least show you the program. And I have had many, like, I not even, I can't count on two hands. I've had 10, 15 plus people who did not want to use this program and are now using it all day, every day. And the key for me was I was able to go in to the way that the templates worked and how the AI was being prompted. And I could take whatever feedback they were giving me. I want this sentence sounds too formal, or I want my differentials to sound like this, or I want my discussion section to sound like this. And within 30 seconds, I could mess with the prompt and get it to spit out things that they liked. And that I could see the light bulb go off where they were like, "Oh, wow, I had no idea. Like, how did you do that quickly?" And then you could kind of see the wheels turning. Okay, this is actually going to save me tons of time. And this is actually something I can get behind. Because the biggest stumbling block is showing a veterinarian, "Here, look, here's AI wrote your soap note for you." And even if the soap note is ready 60 seconds after the appointment is done, if they have to spend 5 or 10 minutes proofreading and editing that, they're going to say, "It would have taken me less time if I had just written it from scratch." But if I can get it where they're like changing only like a few words here or there, and the soap note is 90 plus percent done just by the AI, and it matches their voice and the way they like things organized and the way they like things written, then all of a sudden you can see, again, you can see the light bulb go off where they're like, "Okay, you know what? I actually think I could really get into this." And like I said, I had some converts who said, people told me, "I don't even want, like, I want nothing to do with this. I get my soap notes done on time. This is not a problem for me." And those same people are now some of my super users that are using it all day, every day, and they have convinced some of the other veterinarians to jump on board. And so, because even if you're quick with your soap notes, it's literally physically impossible to be faster than the AI. And it's also, it gets more detail. So, things that weren't making it into the medical record are now making it into the medical record. It also, we can talk about this, is, can be a legal thing where if a client, "You never told me that," or not even necessarily a contentious thing, but like, "Did we talk about this? I can't remember," or "What exactly was discussed?" I mean, some of these appointments are, I did an appointment with the oncology team at Mount Laurel, and the appointment was an hour long, and they were talking for an hour. There's no way you're gonna be able to get all that remember all that information, and especially again on ER when you've seen 10 cases since that case and you haven't written your soap note yet. There's just so many benefits to using it. And yeah,
Yeah,
they love it. They love it.
we talked about that on another podcast. We were talking about like the legal ramifications, the good behind it, of course, of having AI
Exactly.
in there. And again, to come and sometimes avoid some of that he said, she said, or they said,
Exactly.
they
Because
said
I
kind of.
know not only do I have the raw audio file and I have the transcript. So the whole he said, she said thing goes out the window because I know exactly what was said during the appointment.
And there was a vet that we were chatting with, and she said, she's like, you know how if you forget, was it the left ear, the right ear, the left ear, the right,
Exactly.
and you're picturing, you're spinning around in your chair.
I used to do that all the
I
time.
know. And she's like, I don't need to do that anymore. I can just literally bring it up and it has it all in the software for me, which is great. So it takes, because those little moments we were talking about, like little time killers, we were calling them, that you're just like, oh gosh, was it? And then you like go on a tangent and think about something else, but it's
Yep.
all written down for you, which is so nice. I mean,
It's fantastic.
yeah. So to the listeners out there, certainly invite you to look at the different types of AI software that's out there for
Yep.
dictation, because it's really change life
There's a
changing.
ton of them out there now. I joke, everybody and their mother is making an AI startup for veterinarians or for physicians. And I tell people, even if you want to start with a free trial, or it doesn't even have to necessarily be one of these veterinary companies, you start with ChatGPT or some of the other large language models and have it listen to an appointment or feed it a transcript or a soap note and have it rework your soap note and just get a sense of the way that these large language models process information and the way they spit information out and one of the things I'm seeing a lot is, oh, AI is going to steal our job, and one of the jobs that's going to be created is a prompt engineer. And learning how to prompt AI to get it to do what you want is a skill. And I was talking to Kevin from VetRec about this on his podcast that, I use the phrase either like jump on the train or get run over by it. A lot of people are like, yeah, I'm not into that type of thing. Like, well, this is happening. Whether we like it or not, AI is coming. And, we talked about practice management systems. These are going to start to be built into the practice management systems over time. Some of them have it already. And so the sooner you can start to learn about how to effectively prompt AI, proofread AI, it's in 2030, we're not going to be typing out our histories and our physicals and our assessments and our plans. That's just not really the way the world is going.
No, absolutely. Well, Dr. Mark, this has been fantastic. Thanks for sharing your expertise and insight with us on AI and technology and on your road to being a veterinarian. That's just awesome. Keep up the great work, my friend.
Absolutely. And we'll catch up next. I'll run into you at
Yeah,
one
you
of the
have
hospitals
to.
one of these days.
But before we go, tell the listeners where we can learn more about you and VetMeducate.
So I'm actually pretty active on LinkedIn these days. I love LinkedIn. I follow you and a bunch of other people. It's just Mark Massaro, DVM on LinkedIn. VetMeducate, if you go to vetmeducate.org, it's VetMeducate. It's spelled as it sounds, vetmeducate.org. And you go to the Our Hospitals tab, it will link you directly to the websites of all the hospitals.
Nice. And we'll put that in the show notes to the listeners as well in the
Okay.
article on dbm360.com. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow and expand here in 2025. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.